Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you on board with us this morning as we face the issues. Let me remind you, lest I forget it, the telephone number that gets you through to the studios and right to our microphones is 831-0917, 831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a theological doctrinal subject today that I believe has an interest in every heart and life. And it's one of the probably the most misunderstood theological doctrines in the Scripture. We're going to be talking about angels today. Angels, God's secret agents. And I believe I have gotten that title from back in the 60s or early 70s of a book that I once read. I can't recall. I think it was Dr. Billy Graham titled the book, Angels, God's Secret Agents. So I'm using a title of someone else's work of many years ago, but I think it's fitting for the broadcast today as we talk about angels. But let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we talk about subjects on this broadcast each day, as we deal with issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. I find it antithetical to biblical truth and to Christian position of so many people making decisions and determinations and living their lives based on a political ideological bent, are based on a denominational dogma with the rites and the rituals and the rules and the regulations, as I call it, but not founded upon the Word of God. It was Jesus that said to his disciples, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. It's staying in the Word of God, and it's only through constantly remaining in the Word of God that we can know the truth, and it's the truth of the Word of God that sets us free. And then Jesus himself in John 14:6 says, I am truth. And then he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where Jesus says, thy word is truth. And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's the truth of the Word of God that ought to direct our footsteps and be the illumination in our lives each and every day. So may I commend the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God to you today. It is having a biblical worldview, a biblical worldview, a central biblicist worldview. And may I say that I recommend that to each and every person listening today. And perhaps you're listening and you've got a lot of questions in your mind about angels. Perhaps you've heard a lot of statements about angels. Perhaps you believe that you can reach out and touch an angel or talk with an angel or have an angel guide you. Are these things real? What does the Bible say? Ladies and gentlemen, it was George Orwell a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And that's what we see taking place in society today with those that speak the truth. There is a rejection and a repulsion for those of us who want to stand on truth and speak the truth. You're finding that in Washington, ladies and gentlemen, every day. You're finding it more and more in the days that come and go, where there's a mindset that truth does not count, that we need not worry about truth. But as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, may I subscribe, I have subscribed to, and may I suggest to you that you adapt the statement by the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a very, very, very dogmatic statement that I believe we need to adopt as ours. He said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that is so needful in society today, especially as Christians, We need to understand what the truth is and be able to segment and segregate and take away that which is not truth and hold on to that which is truth and tenaciously stand by truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries a full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of power equipment for the lawns and landscape business, for the businessmen in the professional field, as well as the homeowners. They also carry a full line of hurricane preparedness backup equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And they have a knowledgeable staff, ladies and gentlemen, that can answer all of your questions about lawn care equipment, the power equipment, and hurricane preparedness equipment. And her Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. It's right where the gigantic flag flies. Old USA, Old Glory. The American flag is about 165 foot in the air. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have an elongated but yet poignant monologue to get to the subject today that we want to talk about. And that subject is angels. And I'm told, ladies and gentlemen, by some of those statisticians, those that keep up with numbers, numbers crunchers, if you will, I'm told that about 92% of Americans believe in the existence of angels. But what really do we know about angels? What do we know that is said about angels? When were angels created? How many angels exist today? What do they do? What do angels do? What's the ministry, the responsibility of angels? Do we have guardian angels? What about parking lot angels? I've read articles where, entire segments of articles where people talk about they have a parking lot angel. Then anytime they drive on a busy parking lot, they pray to their angel, parking lot angel, and ask that parking lot angel to find them a parking slot. I read behind one dear lady that believes in totally that there are such things as parking lot angels, that she never goes onto a parking lot without praying that her parking lot angel will find her a parking slot. And immediately after she prays and asks that angel to do so, that zingo, there's a parking slot for her automobile because of her parking slot, a parking lot angel. Some talk about the lost key angel. Yes, you're hearing me right. One dear person said that anytime she loses her keys, and evidently she was prone to lose keys all the time, she'd simply pray and ask her key angel to show her where she left her keys. Are angels, ladies and gentlemen, are angels male or female, man or woman? Which are they? What does the Bible say? Do angels have wings? Some people think that they do. Some people say that when a person dies, we become angels. I hear that a lot today, where a parent will be telling a child that daddy died or mommy died or whatever it may be, and, well, God's called them because God wanted them to be another angel in heaven. Well, that might sound comforting, but that's not biblical. But we're going to talk about that. Are all angels good angels? What does the Bible say? Should we worship angels? Do angels procreate? Of course, we'll not have time to answer all of these questions, but we want to answer some of them today. Did fallen angels, listen carefully, did fallen angels cohabitate with earthly women and produce grotesque, monstrous beings, according to Genesis chapter 6? There are a lot of people that say that that is the case. Is that really true? Why do we believe so much folklore rather than simply going back to identifying what the Bible says and believing what the Bible says? That's the only thing that is important in our lives today. And may I remind us, we want to look at several of these very important points and try to resolve them. But ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We have movies today, Touched by an Angel. Dozens of books have been written on the subject of angels. Our society seems to have been invaded with the cult and the occult in society today, and we have witnessed the widespread interest in astrology, spiritualism, witchcraft, Satanism, and all kinds of interest in the spirit world. We're finding that more today, I believe, than we have found in my lifetime. And I'm still under 100 years old, ladies and gentlemen. There are conferences on angels, angel seminars, angel newsletters, entire sections in bookstores about angels. There are organizations that hold names like Hell's Angels, Charlie's Angels, the Guardian Angels, the Angel Watch Network, the National Association of Angel Lovers, and I could go on and on and on. Most of the television programs, ladies and gentlemen, when it deals with angels, like the one Touched by an Angel and others similar to that. A lot of programs today also that deal with angels, but not the divine angels, not the good angels, not the elect angels, but the demonic angels, the evil angels, the fallen angels. And we're not going to try to get into a total dialogue and discussion on the fallen angels. That's dealing with demons. We're not going to do that. I might touch on it as far as characterization of angels. That's a whole other subject. We're going to be talking about the good angels, the divine angels, the angels that are ministering spirits today. Some people today even say they have angel advisors or angel counselors and so much more. So, ladies and gentlemen, the question begs to be asked and demands to be answered. Are angels real? Do angels really exist today? Or are they just a myth? Some people say that they're a myth. There are a lot of folks that just out of hand reject angels and them being, are they being a spirit being and having any spiritual emphasis or any biblical absolutes. As Christians, though, how should we respond? That's the question. That's the bottom line. That's what we want to discuss. How should we respond? Perhaps you're listening today and you know a little about angels. You've heard a lot of mythology about angels. You believe some of these television programs about angels. What do we know about angels according to the Bible, the Word of God? Not what the public babble says, but what does the powerful Bible teach us? Christians must know what God's Word says. May I remind us, we must be able to have an answer for ourselves and for the skeptic and for the critics when we deal with the subject of angels. It's not a matter of my opinion. It's not a matter of what I think, say, or feel. It's a matter of what does the Bible say? What does the Word of God say? I've said so many times, ladies and gentlemen, it's vital for Christians today, as never before, to be able to defend the faith once delivered to the saints. If someone were to say to you, I don't believe angels exist, how would you prove they do? If someone were to say that I believe that I have a should have a parking lot angel that I need to pray to every day to find a parking slot when I go down to Publix or the other grocery stores, how should you respond? You hear somebody babbling about that. Should you say anything about it? Should you intervene and ask them to validate their thoughts in relationship to that? Most people today will try to validate their position and their thoughts and their philosophies on angels based on some book they've read. And ladies and gentlemen, you can go to any bookstore, and I've done this, go to any bookstore, and there are whole sections on angels. 99.99999% of them are not worth the paper that you could use to start a fire with in your fireplace, because they're simply not based on the Word of God. And anything that's not based on the Word of God, especially in that category, is not worth reading. It is just simply some individual's diatribe that they cannot validate because it's not a biblical position that they've taken. First of all, let me remind you that angels are found, the word angels, A-N-G-E-L-S, angels, the word angels, found 94 times in 92 verses in the Bible. 94 times out of 92 verses, you find the plural angels. The word angel itself, angel, is found 201 times in 192 verses in the Bible. And just to set the record straight, God created angels. Now let's get a little, and I've got Dr. Phelps with me today. We're going to enter into the discussion in a moment and receive your telephone calls and your questions. But let's just put to rest a little question that challenges so many, and that is, when did God create angels? You ever thought about that? You ever had anybody ask you that question? You ever try to defend that position? You ever ask a theologian or a pastor, a preacher, teacher, the Word of God, when did God create angels? Now, the Bible does not give us an exact, emphatic answer as to when God created angels. There's no place in the Bible that says, and on the 19th day, God created angels, or anything of that sort. I'm using that as a hypothetical statement, ladies and gentlemen. We're not going to attempt to prove when God created angels, or if the angels were created because God created them, but it does not give us a clear time period. We do know that in Genesis 3, let me give you some little guardrails. We do know that when Adam and Eve disobeyed God in Genesis, the third chapter, that Lucifer was there in the form of a serpent. That is the devil. Lucifer is a fallen angel. Lucifer is one of the three archangels. Lucifer fell. We'll talk about that further in this broadcast. But we know when Genesis 3 occurred, angels had already been created. We do know then in Job, and I'm not going to take time to go into it on the broadcast, we do know that in Job chapter 38, verse 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, verse 7 is the key verse, right page, right column, the last verse on that column in my Bible. We do know that the angels were watching over the banister rails of heaven, that's my term, watching over the rails of heaven when God created the world and everything in it. We do know that the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 through 18, that Jesus Christ created everything in the heaven, the heavenlies, the everything that's on the earth and beneath the earth, everything that's visible and everything that's invisible. And ladies and gentlemen, angels are invisible beings. They can be manifest at God's desire. We'll talk about that. And they're always manifested in the masculine gender, masculine form. That does not mean there's angels have sex, that angels are male or female. They're always manifested in that fashion. But the point that I wanted to make is that we understand that there's no definitive time. You can debate that until Jesus comes. You'll never prove it one way or the other. But we can look at the parameters of the text, look at what's happening, where it's happening, and the time frame of that, and understand that before Genesis 3, and Genesis 3, of course, comes after Genesis 1 and 2. Genesis 1 and 2 is the creation picture. So we know that someplace in Genesis 1 and 2, in the 6 days of creation, that God created angels. And we do know that they were created probably first because of watching God in the balance of the creation story. Although it is not listed in the day 1, day 2, day 3, day 4, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, in the creation narrative. So I wanted to set that straight because that's one of the first questions that most people ask, and they're asking it hypothetical because they've heard somebody talk about it, but they're not familiar with it, and they cannot defend it. So I want to set that aside and let you understand that angels were created by God. Angels are created beings. Angels have a purpose and a plan and a ministry in God's great scheme of things and his sovereign purpose. God has provided angels for a purpose. Now, first of all, Dr. Phelps and I are going to talk about this, but I'm just going to zip through two or three things that I want to set the stage with. First of all, Dr. Phelps, as we talk about this, we're going to go back to some of these points. I'm trying to give an overview for our listeners. Angels are spirit beings. We'll talk about the verses and where they're found. Angels are sexless beings. And ladies and gentlemen, that's an important statement because so much misunderstanding and disinformation that's given by wannabe theologians that do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And we'll touch on that again in a moment. Angels are supernatural beings. They're not natural beings. They're supernatural beings. Angels are swift beings. That is, they can be here in a moment's time there in another place. Angels are splendid beings. That is, they are beautiful, angelic beings. So, Dr. Phelps, ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce Dr. Phelps for you. I assume sometimes that you know that because we have this dialogue and discussion quite often on this broadcast, and it's designed to not to entertain but to inform you, our listeners, about some theological things. Dr. Phelps, I've had the joy down through the years of teaching angelology, and the backup, the follow-up of that is demonology, which is the fallen angels. I've had the joy and the privilege of teaching that for 35 or 40 years. On a 16-week semester basis in our college and university. And I find it interesting how students, the lights come on. Students have always believed some mythology, some mythological things about angels, and they find it refreshing and enlightening that they can go back to the scripture and validate it and find some truth in the Word of God that will point out the facts about angels. So, Dr. Phelps, let's discuss the ministry of angels and what angels do. Let me just run down this, and then we can pick up at that point. They engage in God's worship. They execute God's will. They execute God's wrath. They escort God's servants. They extricate, that is, release God's servants. They escort God's dead servants to glory. So, Dr. Phelps, as we start out this dialogue and discussion, thank you for being with us today. It's always a joy to have you. Always enjoy our dialogue and discussion, as I call it, just bounding it back and forth between us as to some of these things. How would you identify an angel, Dr. Phelps? How would you identify angels? What would you say in the identity of angels? What are they?
I'm so glad that I can respond to that question today, because we need the biblical answer to the world's fascination with angels.
Yes.
And the answer is found in the Bible.
Yes.
There we find the teaching of truth concerning angels. The word angel, anywhere you read in the Bible, means messengers. It's often used to refer to celestial, immortal beings in the universe. The angels are mentioned in history and in sacred writings as well. More than 100 references are found in our Old and New Testament scriptures. When we talk about the angels, we mean those then beings who were created by God for a very special purpose.
Special purpose for angels. Let's talk about that for a moment, Dr. Phelps. What would the purpose of angels be? What are angels doing today, and what is their ministry? I'm looking at some lecture notes that I have on the subject. First of all, angels worship and praise the Lord. This is their main activity. When you look at Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3, they're around the throne. In the year the king Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train did fill the temple, the scripture says. And the angels were singing, holy, holy, holy.
Yes. So the angels were created to bring glory and honor to God.
Yes.
And so we find in the book of Isaiah chapter 6, they serve around the throne of God in the manner which they were created. Some serve as messengers. Some serve to guard the people of God. And so in the book of the Revelation, we find that the angels are spoken of as beast-like creatures. They give glory and honor and thank to God who sat on the throne, who lives forever and ever. So the angels of God have a numerous amount of business. God has a special purpose for them. For example, the elect angels serve God in the manner in which they were created. And some serve to bless and praise the Lord. Some serve then also to do the will of God. Angels were created, spirit beings, and they have a purpose in God's administration. They have things to do.
That's right. They're called spirit beings. They're ministering beings, spirit beings.
Ministering spirits.
Right.
There's angelic activity in heaven. There's the worship and devotion before God, as we find in Isaiah chapter 3. They continually say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God. And in the Revelation chapter 4, we find that there are angels who are present there to worship and give honor and glory to God. The activity also in heaven is the willingness to fulfill God's commands. They're mentioned in Psalm 103 in this manner. We find in Psalm 103, verse 20 and 21, angels are mentioned. They bless the Lord. Let me read the two verses. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. And now that's speaking of the elect angels, the good angels. They have angelic activity in heaven, but they have angelic ministry on earth as well. Let me mention just a few. They are witnesses who are sent from God, or they are messengers. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 22, there was a message that was given to Daniel concerning Israel's future. There's a mention of angels in the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, verse 9. And it was to explain the visions that were given in that book.
Yes. In fact, it's fascinating, Dr. Phelps. You have the angel Gabriel was the announcing angel. The announcement of the birth of Jesus was made by an angel. You have the ministering angel. You find when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, angels ministered to him there in the wilderness. You find that angels are swift beings, as I call them in my outline, in my lecturing in the classroom. And as swift beings, they're also innumerable. Speak to that subject about being innumerable, Dr. Phelps. How many angels? A lot of times people will use the old cliche, well, how many angels can dance on the head of a pin? They use that as kind of a teaser based on the fact that you can't see them, and based on the fact that they are so large in number. How many angels, Dr. Phelps, in the world are in the heavenlies today?
The scriptures tell us that there are a multitude of angels, and that means there are many. In Psalm 68, Luke chapter 13, Revelation 5, but also in Luke chapter 2, in the announcement of the birth of Christ, when they appeared to the shepherds and told them the good tidings of great joy. So we read in that passage, in verse 13, Luke 2:13, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now that means that there are perhaps billions, or if you want to say, trillions.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of angels.
What about when Jesus was said that, you know, I could call 10,000 angels, or 12 legions of angels. Read that text. I believe it's in Matthew, about the 26th chapter. I think it's Matthew 26:53. Read that text to us for our listeners' benefit today.
In the book of Matthew chapter 26, on the occasion of Jesus and his disciples in the garden, when the officers came to arrest him, then Peter was prone to be very impulsive, mm-hmm. and he drew a sword. And he drew that sword and struck a servant of the high priest, smote off his ear. And Jesus told him, put up again the sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Verse 53, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give us more than 12 legions of angels?
That's always been fascinating to me, Dr. Phelps. 12 legions under Roman culture and Roman custom. A legion was about 6,000. So if Jesus said I could call 12 legions of angels, and they would presently, that means immediately, swiftly, be present. Jesus is saying, ladies and gentlemen, that I could call to my heavenly Father. He'd send 72,000 angels. Listen to that, 72,000 angels. And it would be swift, that would be sudden, that they would appear. So angels are not just spirit beings. They're absolutely swift beings. They can be in one place and then another. And we find throughout the scripture, Dr. Phelps, several occasions where you find there being swift beings. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 21 and 22, it points that out when Daniel was praying and the angel delivered the prayer. So we are talking about, ladies and gentlemen, angels, God's secret agents. And the telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. That's a telephone number that gets you straight through to the studios, right to our microphones. And right after the break, we're going to take about a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Right after the break, we're going to be talking about continuing our discussion about angels, God's secret agents. We'll be talking about the ministry of angels. What do they do? Do they help us? Are they guardian angels? We'll be talking about angels. Are they sexless beings? Do they procreate? Do we have more angels today than God created?
This
That's several things.
Is Let's
about.
Face
Thank
the
you
issues
so much.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from
back.
First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.